And so many times in when I'm talking to people and kind of working through this kind of thing with them or thinking about it in my own life, I have to ask the question, I ask myself or them the question, is that deadline really that firm? Or is it, have you just imposed a deadline on it? Because so often what God is doing is more long-term than what we are doing. This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. How can a short memory and impatience undermine God's plan in our lives? Put that another way, today I want to give you what will be, I'm predicting, your new favorite verse. This is episode 23 of season 2 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. And for the next few episodes, we started last week, we're kind of looking at these lessons from the desert. We're putting our feet in the desert sand of the Old Testament Israelites and learning lessons from their faith as well as their failure, from their disobedience as well as their, you know, the positives they learned from the desert. And you know what's amazing is that their experience there is very transferable to our lives.
Very
as
much
well.
So. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to look at that. Today's the topic is waiting well. And I want to give you, before we're done, five things you can do while you wait. Because that's often the hard, it's so hard to wait. But five things you can do to help you wait well. So welcome to our listeners and viewers. Morning, Ryan. Nice
hey,
to have you here today.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, how was your weekend?
Busy. We had a busy, busy weekend. But the kids had a playoff hockey game on Saturday. And if we won, then we were eligible to go to the championship game on Sunday, yesterday.
Okay.
So a lot of hockey this weekend.
And how'd it go?
Great. We won on Saturday.
Wow.
And then yesterday, you know, they were really excited and we were talking, you know, doing our normal, you know, nighttime routine and, you know, kind of talking about the day. And so I was talking to them about the championship game and I was like, well, you know, there's two sides to every puck. You know,
there's two sides to a puck. Keep going.
I don't know why that sounded good, but I don't think that's a saying, but it is now.
All right, there are two sides to every puck.
Right. So I was trying to explain to them that there's the team that wins,
yeah,
and then the team that loses.
Okay.
You know? So I was trying to curb their enthusiasm a little bit and saying that, you know, I'm excited. You know, we're excited. We made it to the championship, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but, you know, we could win or we could lose tomorrow.
You're sort of preparing them.
I was trying to prepare them.
Like, you don't always win.
Right. Because, you know, as we know, my son, you know, is very emotional. He's just an emotional guy. You know, he wears his heart on his sleeve, you know. So, I mean, he cried when the Toronto Maple Leafs lost a week ago.
Yeah.
So I was thinking in my mind, I'm going, wait a minute, I have to prepare him for this because if I don't, you know, we might have tears coming off the rink.
Could be a rough day.
It could be a really rough day for him, right? So I was trying to prepare him for that. And so they seemed to understand, you know, what I was talking about. And they were just excited that they had made it, you know, to the championship and their, you know, first season. So anyway, you know, we got there and the team played really, really well. It was a really good game. Obviously, both teams are really good. And we ended up getting some really good chances from some of our other players, and Evie and Remy played really, really hard too. Evie played really tough, and so it was just really good, and we got the win, and so they, you know, we got to be the champions, and they got to host a little Stanley Cup and take pictures with it, and it got medals and everything.
Wow,
and it was really, really cool. It was a really good day. So we're kind of living the hockey cloud nine right now. So, you know, I was joking and telling the the other coach on the team that I was like, well, it's all downhill from me.
I know. You learn. It's not always like this.
It's not always like this.
There's an old saying. There's two sides to the puck.
See?
There's two sides of every puck.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're going to start using that.
All right. I want someone to come up and say that to us, you know, just randomly. Drop it in their conversation.
Yeah.
It'll be a saying from now on.
Try it out.
Okay. We'll try it out this week. Well, our update on our, we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, but our merch mugs are now completely gone. I still have people asking about them.
I know,
so
same.
That's
same.
Good. I like it. I like it. It's, you know, keep them wanting more. It's,
sure.
You know, it's not, you know, don't take it for granted that you're going to be able to get a mug.
Right.
So they are gone, but we do have hats. And you have one on display
there.
So if you're watching, is that on the camera angle?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. They're very nice hats. It's a Unhurried with Doug Kyle, the podcast. And we've got, I don't know, about eight or so that we can give away. So they're a lot more limited edition than the mugs. So here's what. We've been talking about this, but I think I have an idea.
Okay.
Okay. So I think what we want you to do, if you would like an Unhurried hat, collector's item, Unhurried ball cap, we have different styles. You can kind of pick one from, there's corduroy, there's the kind of trucker hat, there's black, there's brown, there's blue. They're really nice. You have to leave a comment on the YouTube.
Right.
Of this particular podcast.
Right.
Now, previous ones, but this week's podcast, if you leave a comment, you'll be entered into a drawing.
Yeah.
And we'll select one for each week for the next 8 weeks or so.
Sure.
If you're listening and you're not following on YouTube, just simply send us an email at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
And that way you'll be entered in the contest too.
Right.
So that's how you do it. So, I like it.
And, I like it
you
too.
Know, make it a legitimate, you know, comment.
Yeah. Don't just put first.
First
comment.
Give me a hat. You know, we'd like you to engage with what
engage
we're talking
with,
about.
Yes, yeah, that would be cool.
That would be nice too.
Right.
So what's the deal? Here's what I'm thinking though. How many times can they comment? Do they, and if they comment more than once, do they get their names in the drawing more often? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it would be cool. I mean, maybe we'll do this like, I'm just spitballing here, but maybe it's like if you leave a comment on the YouTube page and you email, then that counts as each one counts as one.
All right. So you could enter twice that way.
You can enter twice that way.
That would double your chances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of anything else.
What if they leave two comments on YouTube?
I mean, I guess we can make a decision right now and say that counts.
What if they leave 10 comments?
You're just going to be spamming the comment section.
Right. How about if we have a max?
Yeah. Okay.
What's the maximum?
What would you say? Three? Four?
Say three.
Let's say three.
Three is your maximum.
Three is your max.
So you can triple your chances.
Right. You could leave two comments and an email.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah. Or two emails and a comment.
Right.
You can get your name in the drawing three times.
Three times.
And then that'll be it. Each comment has to be legitimate.
Don't just say first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First, second, third. And then, but you can only win once.
Right.
So once you win, you can still, we'd like you to comment, but you can't. You're out of the drawing.
Right, you're out of the drawing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think that's fair.
All right. So
I like that.
That's great. And we'll announce the winners, the first winner next week.
Yeah.
These will be coveted.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, because there's very few of these.
We have a smaller amount, and then also, you know, there's a little bit of work in it too. So
right.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know.
There we go. I like it.
Me too. Me too.
All right. Well, we have a great listener question at the end, but I'm going to save it for the end, so we'll get to that. But today I want to talk about waiting well, and as I promised, I want to give you, five things you can do while you wait, because I think the hardest thing to do in the spiritual life is one of those seasons of waiting. But there's things we can do with the midst of that. And it kind of grows out of a really very... small part of the message on Sunday. I just really kind of mentioned this, threw it out there, and then moved on quickly. And yet, so I didn't have time to really develop much, but this is where our podcast listeners and viewers have a chance to kind of maybe sit with it a little bit longer sure. than we would normally would do on a Sunday morning. I mentioned Psalm 106:13. And I mentioned that in the message. I said that it was one of Cindy and my favorite verses these days. We've actually shared it with a number of people. We kind of find ourselves going back to it often. And it says this. It says, "But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold." Talking about God, the people of Israel in the desert soon forgot what God had done, and they did not wait for his plan to unfold. That verse actually tied in even better to the message than you might have thought when you first heard it, is because the very next verse says, "In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to test." So it really is referring specifically to the God's people, the Israelites, while they were traveling through the desert, which is really kind of part of our podcast theme here for these few months here together. And so I want to unpack that verse a little bit more, because built into it, and one of the reasons I say it could be your new favorite verse, is because built into it are some really great principles
yeah.
about the power of waiting and what we can do with waiting and why it's so important. So a little, but I mean, even as I say that, you know, that's got to be one of the most relatable and difficult parts of the spiritual life is yeah. when you're kind of in that in-between period, wouldn't
yeah.
you say?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just that waiting period, that part where you just have to trust and be faithful, I would say that's the hardest part of walking the walk, is just you're kind of in limbo a little bit, or you feel like you're in limbo, you know, and it's just, it's real tough.
It's a lot of life too.
Yes. Yes.
Because
it is.
I think we feel like we want instant answers.
Yes.
And so many times that's not the case.
Right.
It's not the case. And so we're left, it's where faith really gets stretched.
Yes.
Because it's like, now I need to trust when I don't have the answers.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to turn out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. That's yeah. just it. Yeah, yeah.
So they soon forgot what God had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. This is, you might as well know the reference, because it's going to be your new favorite verse. It's Psalm 106:13.
There you go.
But Psalm 106 is a great psalm. It's all about the lessons that the people of God learned in the desert and in their travels in their early years as a nation. It's a nice complement to Psalm 105. Psalm 105 and 106 kind of go together. The Psalm 105 talks about Israel's history and God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
And then Psalm 106 comes right after it, and it's Israel's history and their sin, their failures. So God is faithful. They are not. That's the spiritual life summed up in two psalms right there. But Psalm 106 becomes this sort of communal prayer that the people would sing together, confessing their sins and their failures. They're looking back at what happened in the desert and in Israel's early years, and realizing that those same tendencies mm-hmm. were their tendencies in their life as well, and how much they need God's mercy in the middle of it. So here's just a couple quick observations about it that I think are super interesting. One is when it says they soon forgot what he had done. The word "soon" there is even stronger in the original language. It says they hurried to forget. They rashly forgot, or they hastily forgot what God had done. And I thought, how relatable is that? We are so quick to forget how God's come through in the past. I think that is what makes waiting hard, is because we're so consumed with the present, whatever the dilemma is right. or the thing we're waiting on, and we're not mindful of how God came through in the past. We're not thinking about it. But it's not just that they forgot it. It says they soon forgot, or they hurried to forget.
Yeah.
Hurry can sabotage us so much when we hurry to forget, which I this is one of the reasons this podcast is called Unhurried,
right,
is because hurry can so often be detrimental to us. When we're hasty, when we're rash, when we hurry, chances are it's going to take us the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's going to be the wrong turn.
Right, right. Yeah, oftentimes, you know, with my kids, I'm you know, in the middle of something and they, you know, ask me to do something and I'm just like, you need to wait. And it's so difficult for them to do it. But it's like, I also sympathize with them too, because it's like when we ask our Heavenly Father to do something or we want something, we want an answer about something and we're waiting, that's his answer for us. We get frustrated too. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, or we get hasty and we start making irrational decisions, or we say irrational things, or, you know, we're quick with our tongue in a way that's not respectful at all. And so you just go like, it just snowballs into this huge thing now that we have to take care of. You know, we end up creating more problems.
Yeah. So isn't that interesting? It says they hurried to forget what God had done. And instead of being slow to forget, they were quick to forget.
Right.
They immediately forgot. And when you look at what really happened in the desert, that's exactly what it was.
Right.
What did they forget? Well, they forgot how God had been faithful in rescuing them from Egypt.
Yeah.
And so they complained about the water, that they didn't have water. They grumbled that things had changed. Here's what's so interesting. If you read Exodus 15, it's this beautiful song, this beautiful praise to God for rescuing them from the Egyptians, for rescuing them from slavery, from bringing them through the Red Sea, this miraculous event. And there's this beautiful song of praise that ends in Exodus 15:21. And then in verses 22 through 24, we're talking the very next three verses, the people are immediately grumbling that there's no water.
Yeah.
They barely finished praising God and they're immediately complaining that, oh no, we're in the desert now and there's no water here.
Right.
So when it says they soon forgot, we're talking really quickly. Like it took them one verse, sort of like singing praise in church on Sunday morning and you're all in. And then, you know,
you
barely get to the car.
Right. Something goes off.
Yeah. And it's like, oh no, you know, or maybe you get to the lobby or maybe you don't even, you know, who knows?
Right.
Yeah. So they did soon forget. And then in the very next chapter, they're complaining about food, saying, okay, we got water, but now we got nothing to eat. It's just almost comical what they say. It says there, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out to the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. So this is less than a chapter later. And suddenly they feel like, how come God hasn't provided for us?
Right.
How come you haven't given us water? How come? And then he gave them water and it's like, how come you haven't given us food?
Food, right.
And so there's, you know, this such a strong tendency for us to soon forget what God has done.
Yes. My son, we do this homeschool program, and part of the homeschool program is that you have to do these testing, and the test is meant to level out where you are, you know, for your reading ability or math or all the, you know, core subjects. So they'll throw hard questions in there just to see where you level out in your score at the end. Okay. Now, I'm mindful because testing is never fun, right? It's not fun. And especially if the test is meant to be hard. So that's already another level to it, right? So I sympathize with him when he has to do these testings, right? But it always is not, you know, comical, but it makes me kind of chuckle a little bit because he gets so down about himself. And I go, you know, just stick to what you know, right? You know, it's like, it's like God led the Israelites out of Egypt, right? It's like, you know, he's faithful in that, right? It's like they were so quick to forget. Like my son, he kind of like forgets like all of his stuff that he knows, you know? And so the last time we did it, we're doing it together and he's getting so frustrated and, you know, he's just like, oh, I don't know. He's like, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And I'm like, Remy, you do though, dude. Yeah. Like you do, like you just have to take a beat, just wait. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, get your nerves under control and then you just, you know, you move on. And just like when you were talking about this, you know, yesterday, I was just like, you know, I was looking at my wife going like, oh my gosh, this is Remy. Like, this is our son. Like he just so quickly goes like, oh, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I got to move on. You know, it's like, I got to find something else now. And you're just like, just take a beat, you know, just like, you know, it's like, you know, the stuff. It's like the Israelites were just so quick to just go like, oh, that's it. You know, we should have gone back to Egypt. You know? Like,
it's so funny how that is part of human nature. We see it in kids, but we see it in ourselves as well. We're, you know, just part of being people is that we're so, we can so quickly go from confidence and praise to, oh no.
Yes.
Now what?
Now what?
And how come God hasn't provided yet?
Right, right.
How come God hasn't come through?
For sure.
And that's what we see exactly in this verse as well. And so I think that's very relatable. Well, here's a couple things that that I think come to mind as you reflect on this verse. First of all, forgetting God's past faithfulness is a spiritual danger. That was the danger there for them, is to not realize what God had done. And let's be honest, God did amazing miracles in their lives, and still they quickly forgot it.
Yeah.
And so one of the takeaways for us is just to, there's some real value in reflecting on how faithful God has been. I think about, you know, it says, you know, that this, the verse right after the one that I'm recommending is your new favorite verse, when it talks about how they gave into their craving in the desert, they gave into their craving and they put God to test. It was like, we want meat to eat. We want food. Right. We had everything we wanted there. And now they forgot the fact they were slaves there, but you know, they left that part out, but they gave into their craving. And I was thinking about how, you know, our dog knows when it's his time to eat, his food time. He's got this internal body clock and he will come get us exactly at to the minute when it's time for him to eat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and he's so excited and he's so like almost panic, like, please, you know, give me my food. And I go, we've never missed a meal. We're going to feed you, you know, but he is like, oh no, this is going to be the one time. And I want to say, do you remember breakfast? Do you remember lunch? Do you remember yesterday? We fed you, you know, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
But, yes, we do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I thought your story about you and Cindy when you guys moved down to San Diego, I thought that was really, you know, awesome and relating that how God has been so faithful, you know, and that you were looking around at everything at the house and how God had provided, you know, furniture and he provided the house and he did, you know, did all these things. And it's like, you know, I thought that was a really cool you know, story about you guys, you know, and like how God has been faithful in your life in that way.
Well, so that's exactly right. When we focus on his faithfulness, it puts us in a much better place spiritually. When we forget his faithfulness or we start to take credit for it ourselves as if it's like, I'm the one that got myself here. That's a spiritual danger
when
we don't do it.
Yeah.
Another thing that I'm reminded from this verse is that impatience leads to self-willed choices and complaining. If we get impatient, we're going to start to complain. And so if I find myself, let me just personalize this for me. When I find myself in a place where I'm more likely complaining, grumbling, it's probably the result of being impatient. You know, it's probably me just having a different timetable than God does or the people around me do. And it's that's a good indicator that I'm not in a good place spiritually.
Right.
When
right.
I start, that's what the people did. They immediately started complaining, and that's what we do as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it totally happens, I think, in, you know, everyone's, you know, just to generalize it, like, I think it does happen in everyone's life. You make quick, you know, rash decisions, and you just, you know, you just are like not thinking about the consequences or not thinking about how it affects someone else. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've now created this huge, you know, problem out of, you know, nothing, basically. When if you would have just waited on the Lord and focused on Him, you know, and how faithful He's been in your life, that would have, you know, not led to so many issues or downfalls.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Another thing that I'm encouraged from this passage is that it clearly says that God does have a plan for us. So I think we need to rest in that and be strengthened by that. God has a plan for us. When it says we did not wait for His plan to unfold, it assumes He does have a plan, and it just hasn't unfolded yet. It's still, you know, maybe unseen, or it hasn't been revealed yet. It hasn't opened up yet. So, as a matter of fact, if you look at the way the structure of this verse is put together, from a Hebrew structure, the phrase "soon forget" goes with "do not wait." So that makes sense, especially since we realize "soon forget" means quickly,
right?
Rashly, impatiently forget. That goes with that. But then the end, what He has done goes with His plan to unfold.
Yeah.
So His plan for the future is connected to His purposes in the past, or what He's done in the past. And that's why reflecting and remembering what God has done really helps us looking into the future. The two are connected.
Right.
The God who is faithful in the past is going to be faithful in the future.
Yeah.
His plan in the past is preparing us for His plan in the future.
Right.
Those two things are connected in this verse, and we can take, you know, great comfort in knowing that God does have a plan for our life. That another advantage of reflecting on His faithfulness is that's going to be true in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the last song that we sang on Sunday, I wanted to, you know, I picked that song, you know, kind of wanting to reiterate that fact that God is faithful throughout, generations. And so the bridge, you know, the lyrics say, even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop working. And I just like, I wanted that theme or that fact that our God is always working for us. You know, He's never working against us. Mm-hmm. And even though we might lose sight of that, He doesn't. He's faithful throughout, you know? And, I thought it related very much so to what the Israelites were experiencing in that. They lost their focus, you know, if we can be so bold, you know, being so far away from it, looking at them, you know, but it also happens to us.
Those guys.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, those guys. What?
You know, easier said than done, you know?
But. Yeah. No, that's a really cool observation. I don't know if a lot of people realize that or not, is how much thought goes into the songs you pick on Sunday morning, both kind of in preparation for the message and certainly, especially the one that goes right after the message is kind of really meant to kind of cement what we've been talking about. So it's a little, you know, little tidbit for our listeners.
Yeah,
if you're hearing a Sunday morning, pay attention to the final song, because it is almost always something that's underscoring, kind of reinforcing something we've already talked about, kind of putting it in a fresh, relatable light.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I would like, and I hope that people, you know, who you know, call our church home or are visiting our church, I hope that they grasp that. You know, that would be my hope, is that we are working together in focusing our hearts and our minds on Christ, and also, you know, what He's done for us, you know, time and time again, you know, and whatever theme we're in or whatever sermon series we're in, you know, I want to bring that focus, back to that. So,
God has a plan, and his faithfulness in the past should encourage us for his faithfulness in the future.
Yes.
There's one other thing that just strikes me from this verse, and maybe one of the reasons I call it one of my favorites these days, is because we so often adopt artificial deadlines. I think this is really kind of worth thinking about. We so often adopt artificial deadlines. The reason that we're not waiting for God's plan to unfold is because we sort of think it should have happened already.
Right.
And so many times that's just an artificial deadline. It's just something that we have imposed on the situation, as if God should have come through by now, or I wish he would have come through by now, or if he was faithful, he would have come through by now. But and we can make a really good case why it should have happened by now. We usually have a really logical argument, but it's all based on our timeline rather than God's timeline.
Right.
And it feels like a hard deadline. And so many times when I'm talking to people and kind of working through this kind of thing with them, or thinking about it in my own life, I have to ask the question, I ask myself or them the question, is that deadline really that firm? Or have you just imposed a deadline on it? Because so often what God is doing is more long-term than what we are doing.
Right, right. We're very immediate. You know what I mean? It's like we want an answer, you know, right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you can't get the answer from me, I'm going to go find someone else that can, you know? And I think that, I mean, not that I think, I know God wants us to wait. I mean, there's so many verses, you know, and so many songs and psalms about waiting on the Lord, to be still and waiting, to rest on him, you know, all he keeps reiterating that fact to us, and mm-hmm. we just keep missing it, you know, or and not all the time, but, you know, sometimes we do miss it. You know, we want something right now, you know, instead of holding back and waiting for, you know, God to show his faithfulness, you know, in our lives.
Yeah. So let me just give you what I think are five things you can do while you wait.
Sure.
That will help you and me, each of us, to wait well. The first thing is to reflect on God's faithfulness, to take time to think about it. If the danger is forgetting his faithfulness, then the benefit will be remembering his faithfulness. So that we don't fall in the same trap, what if we took time to really reflect on how faithful God has been? And some people are journalers, some people like, you know, writing this stuff down, taking, you know, either mental snapshots or just ways that they kind of record it. However you do, it's just worth reviewing it. Review it in your mind, review it in your conversation, talk about it often. Maybe write it down and then go back and read it. And I came across a kind of a journal that I kept when I was in college for a short term, the semester abroad that I did, or actually just a different part of the country. And it's pretty cool to look back and read it and go, wow, you know, God, in ways that I've completely forgotten about, that God came through. Mm-hmm. Well, reflect on that. That's something you can do while you're waiting,
right,
is to review God's faithfulness in the past.
Yeah.
When I was in college, my roommate and I had this kind of little tradition. If we were worried about something, or we would talk about it, you know, the test or whatever it was. And then, you know, he would come in the room, back to the room, or I would see him somewhere around campus, and he'd say, ask me if God was faithful. Or I'd say, ask me if God was faithful. And then we'd always, you know, play the game. Is God faithful? And then the other one would say, yeah, this is what happened, you know. But just reviewing God's faithfulness in our lives becomes a really valuable thing, especially during those periods of waiting.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. That's awesome. Yeah, Mandy and I talk about that all the time, how God was so faithful when we first, you know, got married, and you know how we started from very humble, mm-hmm. you know, when you just get newly married and you're fresh out of college, and you know, she was working on her you know, getting her credential, and so, you know, and I was, you know, a musician, I was playing a lot of gigs and stuff like that, and you know, we just never, it's not that we didn't worry, we just knew that God would always provide for us. And then, you know, things would get a little tight, and you know, we'd, I don't even know if I should share this or not, but like we would, we there was a movie theater right by our apartment when we first got married, and they were having like a summer deal where you could get an icy, and, you had to buy the icy like contain, you know, drink, and then you'd get like a bucket of popcorn.
Yeah.
Okay. And you could refill it for $6.
I think I know where this is going. Keep going.
So, sometimes when we you know, we're you know, first got married and we didn't have a lot of money, we always knew that if we didn't have enough to get something to make for dinner or to buy, we knew where, like, if we could scrounge $6, we could go get an icy and popcorn. And most, not most, but a lot of nights, probably more than we want to count, were icy and popcorn nights, you know, where we'd be like, oh, this is, you know,
that was dinner.
That was dinner. And so,
wait, did you have to buy a movie ticket though?
No. So the funniest thing is that we would walk in, you know, and they would go like, oh, what movie do you want to see? We'd be like, can we just refill our bucket? But we talk about it so often. It's become, you know, we laugh about it now, you know, and the Lord has provided so much for us and for our children now. But we talk about it a lot where we go like, hey, if we can just find $6, we can go get a bucket of popcorn.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, that's where we started. So, you know, I don't know. No,
those are great stories. Yeah, those are the stories that, and in hindsight, you look back, I mean, at the time it felt desperate.
Yes.
But, you know, you look back and go, see, God brought us through.
Yes. He was so faithful to us.
He was so faithful. And those become the stories that we build on.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so even today, like we still all sometimes, like when we want to do a little date night or I want to do something, you know, spontaneous, I'll go to the movie theater and go buy a bucket of popcorn, you know, and bring it home.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we have food. Don't worry. Like I want our listeners to know, like we have food at home.
Yeah. Your refrigerator's fine.
Our refrigerator's fine. Our pantry is full. The God has provided so much, but sometimes just to be, you know, sweet, I'll swing by and get a bucket of popcorn and we'll sit and watch a movie. And
man, this has made Christmas so much easier for me. I just know I just need to give you like $6 and I'll be,
oh dude,
that'll be $6 $1 bills. Here you go. You go get some popcorn and a Slurpee.
Yeah, we'll be good, dude. That's where we started, you know?
I love it. Well, reflect on God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
The second thing we can do is see waiting as an active and hopeful part of our life there, to see it as active and hopeful. Sometimes we think waiting is just like, well, I just sit on my hands. I just got to put everything on hold.
Right.
Like now I'm just like, well, just stuck.
Yeah.
And instead we need to see waiting as something that can be very hopeful and faith filled and really, active part of our walk with the Lord. The word in Hebrew for they did not wait is not a passive verb. It's an active verb.
Yeah.
And it means that they did not earnestly wait. And so waiting is something we can do earnestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of just putting everything on hold. And it's just the opposite. It's like, well, during this time, what does God have for me to do?
Yeah.
And really focus on what you can do during the time rather than what you don't have or what you still haven't seen come through. So see waiting is really active and hopeful. I think that's for all of us, that could be a really big turn in the middle of waiting.
Yeah.
Third, we've kind of talked about this a little bit already, but I want to make it a principle. Rethink false timelines. Rethink that. Say, wait a second, have I put some false timelines on this? Because the word unfold in this verse reminds us that God's plan and his timing is probably different than ours.
Yeah.
They didn't wait for it to unfold. It wasn't that God wasn't going to come through. It's just that they didn't see it yet. And so often a lot of our frustration is that we have just have this artificial deadline, this false timeline that we put on it. Another way to say that is change the phrase my plan to God's plan.
Yeah.
Because it's his plan, not my plan that we're waiting on. And realize that his plan is going to have different schedule than our plan is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like you were saying, you know, earlier. It's just, you know, in that time period that we can wait, we can draw closer to God. We can make our, you know, our plan, his plan, you know, and have him, you know, increase in our life in that way and in our family's life. And so, you know, we can kind of refocus our thoughts and I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought, but we can just refocus our lives in that way.
Yeah.
where we're no longer living our lives for us. We're living it for God, and we can focus everything towards that, you know, cause then if he is telling us to wait for an answer or wait for something, then it's like, it's not really the problem because our hearts have not changed, you know, in focusing on God.
I'm thinking about Blazer again. Blazer's our dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, he usually gets fed at 5 o'clock, and I guarantee you, like at 4:59, he could have been napping in dog dreamland for hours. But at 4:59, he is alert and active and ready to go, right next to me, going, it's time to eat. It's time to eat. Sometimes though, he comes up to me at 4:30. And I have to tell him, I go, it's not time yet.
Yeah.
And he knows that phrase.
Right.
It's not time yet. And then he'll like slink, you know, his ears drop and he kind of walks away. And then 5 minutes later, he comes back up and I go, it's not time yet. And he does the same thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to have he has a really good body clock when it comes to time to eat. But if it gets fast forwarded on him somehow,
right?
He doesn't every 5 minutes. Yeah. It should be time now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how we get. You know, we're
that's
like,
funny.
We, you know, okay, if now's not the time, how about 5 minutes from now?
how about now? How about
you
now?
Know, and a lot of it is just to rethink false timelines. Is to realize that we could have it off a little bit because we don't see the big picture.
Right.
And
right.
So really rethink that.
Yeah.
A fourth thing is to see God's plan here in a fresh way too. God's plan doesn't mean that he just takes over and just, you know, everything plays out. And so I guess I just forget about, toss my plan out the window, just kind of wait for him to pave the way for me and everything's just going to fall in place. The word there literally is for God's counsel.
Yeah.
And so they did not wait for his counsel to unfold or his plan to unfold. It involves more than just him paving the way or opening the way or leading through it, but it's really his counsel, which is his word.
Right.
So he gives us wisdom along the way, but we're waiting for his wisdom, but that involves us acting on it too. So the again, this is not a passive thing where we waiting is just, you know, put everything on hold and let God kind of, the phrase let go and let God, I think sometimes can be misunderstood as if we have no role in it whatsoever, but just let God to take over. But we will do have a role, but we want him to initiate it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he just gives us wisdom to know what to do. Sometimes he works out the circumstances, but we have to step into them. And so it's something that he just like waiting is active. So as his plan starts to be revealed, it also involves us actively stepping into it and participating in what he's doing.
Right.
So see plan as not overriding our will, not passive, but really his counsel and coaching through it.
Right. Well, I know so many times in my life, like in that waiting period, you know, God has brought people into my life and either spoken something, you know, into it or about a certain situation, or I've gone, what would you do in this situation? Or how do I handle this? Or, you know, what's the next step? And, you know, and so it's like God kind of also sends those people to us too, you know, in that time period. So we can kind of look to each other also in for, you know, for reassurance.
Have you ever found this too? I mean, I can think of this when, if I would have done what I thought I should have done early,
yeah,
it would have been wrong.
Yes.
And then the waiting
actually
allowed for a much better result.
Yes, yes.
You know, because maybe of a conversation I had with someone, like you're saying, or something happened, and all of a sudden I go, oh, wait.
Yeah.
I'm really glad I didn't jump
and
act too hastily and hurried and forget God's planning.
So
and all
that
this.
Has happened in my life so many times.
Yeah.
So many times where I've either made the wrong decision because I didn't wait, or I did wait and had good counsel, and you know my focus had not changed, and then I look back and going, you know, thank the Lord I waited.
Thank the Lord. Yeah.
Because I would have been in a world of mess. You know? So yeah, for sure.
The fifth thing we can do while we're waiting is just to realize that what God is doing in your life is always bigger than what God is doing in your life. This is a phrase I've said over and over again in my ministry, but I think it's important to say, realize what God is doing in your life is always bigger than what God is doing in your life. He's always doing something that has more to do than just your little world. It has to do with the universe of people and places and impact that we never see in this side of heaven. We're never going to know. And so you realize he's also working in other people's lives. He's working in their circumstances. And to realize when we wait on his timing, it's really not just for us.
Right.
It's
right.
for others that are also doing the same thing.
Yes.
Trusting him and waiting for his timing as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we can be examples of that to each other, you know, even in our, I've noticed that or have experienced that in our church, you know, family, you know, how many times people have been so wise in their walk with Christ and have been, you know, so patient in other things, and how, you know, you and I have worked together and we work with our staff and our, you know, even people in our church, and how they handle certain situations that have come up in our church, and how they have handled them so gracefully and so godly, you know, and you can learn from that, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So really in summary then, I was going to say real quick, but this is unhurried, so we're not going to do it real quick.
No,
you know, that's
come
the
on
whole
now.
Point. Yeah, it's not supposed to be real quick, but in kind of summary, you know, what can you do when you're waiting? What can you do when you feel frustrated and you're like, God's timing doesn't seem to be in sync with yours? What can we do? Well, there's at least five things. We can reflect on God's faithfulness in the past. You know, don't forget that. Reflect on what he's done. You can see waiting is something that's active and hopeful, something that you're engaged in. You can focus on what you can do. You can rethink your false timelines and say, maybe I've got this, you know, not this is more my plan and not God's plan. You can, as things start to unfold, you can see that plan as not overriding your will, but something that now you participate with what God is doing. Someone used to say, it used to be very common to talk about just getting, kind of getting in God's flow, you know, stepping into what God's already doing, recognizing it, and stepping into it. So that's the idea of just start to recognize what he is doing. And then finally realize that what God is doing in your life is always bigger than what he's doing in your life. And that, I think, gives us perspective and courage to wait in the middle of it. So waiting we can wait well.
Yes.
If we do those things.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are just kind of, hopefully that becomes your new favorite verse, or one of them. I wouldn't say it's my favorite. Say it's one of them. Psalm 106:13. And there's a lot in there if we take time to unpack it. All right. I have a really random listener question this week. I can't wait to share this with you.
Is it really random?
It is so random.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you just made me nervous.
And it's so you know how we have the unhurried little font that we use on the cover photo for unhurried. It's red letters, kind of bulky letters, unhurried.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, pull it up. So someone that actually I've got a little plantar fasciitis in my foot right now, and so I'm seeing a physical therapist. She's working on my foot.
Yeah,
it's painful, but it's getting better. And because of that, we talked about the podcast. She listened to the podcast.
That's cool.
She liked it, but then this was her comment, her question, actually.
Okay.
Her question was, did we model the font for Unhurried on our cover photo from the font that they use for Pampers diapers.
What? hold on. I need to pull this up. Hold on.
I have pictures for you. I already anticipated this. I have got pictures for you. So here is Pampers.
Okay.
I don't know if the. I'm pretty sure they're not going to be able to see that.
I can also get a picture too, and I'll put it in.
Yeah, you can put a picture in and then here's Unhurried. Come on.
I don't
even see any similarity whatsoever. Do you even see what they're saying?
No.
And first of all, what, how, why do you, first of all, it's Noah, not us, but Noah's the one that put this together. He was going, you know what? Noah's a single guy, has no kids.
Sure, no, he's got no kids.
He has no, the diapers are not a part of his world whatsoever. And he's going to go, you know what? I like the way they did that bot for Pampers diapers. I think I'm going to make it. For Unhurried. I don't know.
I don't see it either, but
I think it's her world. I think it's because she has young kids.
Right.
I just think that just is more revealing of her than it is of us.
If anything though,
you see
because here's the thing. Pampers, the only letter that is in both words is the R.
Yeah.
So look at the R.
Okay.
I have it right. If you look at the R and you look at the R here, she might be right.
Come on. I'm not giving it to
her. Oh, R and the E. So look at the E, too.
Yeah?
I mean, the Pampers isn't bolded, and ours is.
Yes.
So that does change it slightly.
Yeah, and we have the Pampers is white, and this is red, and we have white outline around it.
It might be adjacent. It might be Pampers adjacent.
We might be getting some infringement rights lawsuits coming here pretty soon.
So here's the thing. Here's what I do know, not about Noah, is that Noah is obsessed with fonts.
Yeah.
So I when we first started working together, I got him a book. Mandy actually found it for me. And it's, I think it's like, I want to say it's like 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Fonts,
mm-hmm.
and it's in like detail of like it explains each font and it'll give a credit to like the creator of these fonts.
He probably loved it.
Oh, he said it was one of the best gifts. You know, not to toot my own horn here, but well, you know.
Wait till you get $6 for Christmas. That's gonna be a much better gift.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the best.
Yeah, $1 bills.
$1 bills. Popcorn's on me, baby. Yeah, let's go. No,
yeah, but until that, this is one of the best gifts ever given.
Yes. But like I said, he's obsessed with fonts. Mm-hmm. I just know that about him. And so Mandy and Noah, their little quirky relationship is that they'll send fonts back and forth to each other of like of pictures of things and like, have you seen this font? Like, have you seen this one? Have you used this one? And he'll send things back or of like, oh, I'm going to use that on the next series.
So what we need to do is we need to get in touch with Noah this
week. We'll get in touch.
Find out the backstory of the font.
Yes. Because he has one.
I'm going to say 99.9% chance it has nothing to do with Pampers.
No, it's got nothing to do with it.
It has nothing to do with it. But I think this young mom who's my physical therapist right now is maybe that's just her world.
Sure.
I'm just going to say that's her world.
Hey, yeah.
You know, it says more about her than about us.
I never picked up on it either, but I'm also one of those guys that like, you know, gets the diapers in the mail or whatever or from the store and I just rip the box open and I'm just like, listen,
I'm not paying attention to it.
You know, it's just not my world. So
I thought that when she asked me that, I thought, what?
That is so funny.
I don't think so.
She's right about the R though.
The R is similar. So I got to give her that.
You got to give her that.
Yeah.
And like I said, bolded, I don't know, because it changes the colors.
Yeah.
You know, or it changes the font a little bit. So
right.
She might be right.
That's got to qualify as the most random question we've gotten so far.
That is
in
awesome.
Listener questions.
Yes, that is awesome.
I actually did get one other question. It was just verbally on Sunday morning. Someone, before I could even say hello to them, said, how do I get my hat?
Hey,
so just to explain it again, if you want to get one of our Unhurried hats, they're... just leave a comment up to three. If you leave, you can leave five comments. We're only going to give you three chances. Yeah. Up to three comments on this week's episode, as well as, or send an email to unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Also, you don't have to do it if you want to. I mean, if you just want to give us a comment, sure. That's always welcome.
That's always welcome,
even
too.
If you don't want a hat.
Sure.
You know, we still love your comments. We like your likes. We're happy when you subscribe.
Yep, very much appreciated.
Please do that as well. That'd be great. Well, hope this has been an encouragement to you. It's really built upon a deeper dive into a message I gave on June 8, 2025, called The Quicksand of Success. If you'd like to listen to it again, you can find it at greenvalleychurch.com or our YouTube page. So thanks, Ryan, listeners who are following along. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. I look forward to talking soon.